You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 114. Today's episode is the second of a three-part series I'm doing about New Orleans music. The Historic New Orleans Collection recently did an online tournament where they matched New Orleans music against each other in a March Madness-style bracket that they called Music Madness. People were invited to vote, and they published the results online while also linking to the launch of their online exhibit called New Orleans Medley, Sounds of the City. Eli Haddo and Teresa Devlin over at THNOC suggested it might be fun if I filled out my own bracket and talked about my selections. So today's going to be the second part of my bracket. If you missed the previous episode, number 113, you might want to stop and listen to that one first. Or you could listen to this one and then that one because it's the first 32 matchups of the bracket. So it'll kind of work either way. Before we get into it, I want to mention a couple of sponsors that make the show possible, but I also want to talk about the time. It's June of 2020. I typically release episodes every other Wednesday, and this one is coming out a week late, although if I'm speaking to future you, you might not even realize that. But we are in the midst of now 10 or 12 days of protest and support for Black Lives Matter on top of, or as a result of, George Floyd being killed in Minneapolis. And it just didn't feel quite right to release this last week. So I delayed a week. Again, if you're listening to this sometime in the future, you probably won't know that. But I just didn't feel right about releasing it. So here we go. Before we jump into the second set of picks, I did want to mention that today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters, including our newest members at the $10 or higher level. They include Courtney Wagner and Aunt Fran, my Aunt Fran, Valerie Lungo, thanks Aunt Fran, Natalia Bayless, Allison Ward-Peters, and Stephanie Lorme. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. Find out more at beyondbourbonst.com/Patreon. We'll have a link in the show notes, too, at beyondbourbonst.com/114. Today's show is also sponsored by our partners, NOLA Boards, Coast Roast Coffee, and NOLA T-Shirt of the Month Club. Again, you can check out discounts and how to purchase their products and services over in the show notes. If you follow me on Facebook, you see I often post pictures in the morning with coffee mugs and T-shirts, and those come from the NOLA T-Shirt of the Month and Coast Roast Coffee. With all that said, let's jump into part two of our discussion about my Music Madness bracket. Okay, here's a quick recap about how it works. The setup is that one of the curators at the Historic New Orleans Collection, Eric Seaforth, selected 64 songs with ties to New Orleans. He matched them up in 32 pairs. And if you can't quite visualize it, you can go to the show notes where you'll find links to the bracket that they did. And then you can click through and see the public voted on each one. So when you do it that way, it results in six rounds to get from 64 to the champion. You have the round of 64. Today I'm talking about the second part of that. And then that means 32 songs make it through to the next round. Then the Sweet 16, the Elite 8, the Final 4, and then the championship matchup. So in the last episode, I covered the first 16 picks. And today I'm going to finish out the first round with 32 more songs and 16 picks. So the way I approach this, I listen to the playlist. So the Historic New Orleans Collection has a playlist of all the music on YouTube. And again, I'll have it in the show notes so you can just click through. And then I kind of thought about my own knowledge of the song, the composer, the recording, and its place in New Orleans history. I thought about how much I like the song and what memories of New Orleans it stirred in me. I decided not to apply numeric scores, even though I'm a data nerd, and just kind of went with my gut and picked. I'll walk you through each matchup and my thoughts on it. In some cases, I'll tell you about other recordings of the same song. And again, to get the most enjoyment out of this one, I strongly encourage you to open up the YouTube playlist and follow along. Although lots of people, including my own mom, thanks mom, said that she had a good time listening about the history of my picks, even without listening to the music at the same time. So there you go. All right, so we left off with round one, matchup 17, which was or is Ain't That a Shame versus Nothing and Rambling. Ain't That a Shame was composed or written by Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew. They wrote several songs together. It reached number one on the Billboard R&B charts, and it ranked by Rolling Stone magazine as 438th out of the 500 greatest songs of all time. As great as Fats is, Ain't That a Shame really achieved its success or its notoriety like a month later when Pat Boone covered it. Pat Boone's recording went to number one on the Billboard charts, and Fats always said he was good with it because it paid royalties. It was also covered by John Lennon, Paul McCartney and Wings, and Cheap Trick. And from my friend Emmett, who's a fan of the show and also a frequent travel partner of mine, it was on Cheap Trick at Budokan, their live show. The Cheap Trick version was supposedly Fats Domino's favorite cover of the song. They also played it live at the end of the induction ceremony at the 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the Beatles played in New Orleans only one time on my birthday a few years before I was born in 1964. And when they came, and of course that was the height of the British invasion by the Beatles, they had one request. They wanted to meet Fats Domino. So Fats was always notoriously prone to not meeting with people, not because he didn't love people, but he had stage fright, he was introverted, and he tended to have some anxiety about going out. But he agreed, and he met with them at a trailer near the concert site. So they played in Tad Gormley Stadium in City Park here in New Orleans. And there's some great pictures of Fats meeting with them because he requested it before they performed on stage at their only concert here in New Orleans. So Ain't That a Shame in this matchup is going against Nothing and Rambling. This was recorded by Lucinda Williams, at least the version that's in the YouTube playlist. But the original was by Memphis Minnie. She was a blues guitarist and vocalist who was born in Algiers, which is mentioned in the song. And longtime listeners and those of you familiar with New Orleans know that Algiers is across the river from the French Quarter and is the second oldest neighborhood in New Orleans. Lucinda Williams was also one of 13 kids. So my vote. Memphis Minnie was considered the best female blues guitarist around, but my vote goes to Fats and Dave Bartholomew and Ain't That a Shame. My daughter Olivia says Fats Domino kind of has a funky tune, so his version of it kind of has a funky vibe, which is a pretty interesting observation from an eight-year-old, because, of course, Fats Domino had a big influence on lots of other people and really was responsible in large part for the earliest days of rock and roll. So it's interesting that she picked that up. So my vote on this one is Ain't That a Shame. And again, I'll have all my picks in the show notes so you can see how they compare and contrast to maybe your own and to the results of the public vote that from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Round one, matchup 18, Such a Night versus Iko Iko. Such a Night, this version is recorded by Dr. John, but the first recording was by the Drifters. Elvis has recorded it, of course, the Four Seasons, Aaron Neville, and more recently, Michael Bublé. So this one goes against what is surely a fan favorite, and that's Iko Iko by the Dixie Cups. It was originally released in 1953 by James Crawford, but the Dixie Cups recorded it in 1965, and they made it a hit. The Dixie Cups still perform at Jazz Fest pretty regularly, and Iko Iko was sort of an accident for them. They were recording in New York, and in between takes or in between songs, they were just kind of singing and playing along with drumsticks on a chair and a Coke bottle. And the producer heard it and said, you know, what are y'all doing? And that's the version they recorded. So very simple instruments and just sort of a classic. Every time I hear it, it's just so simple, but it stood out and it's so popular in New Orleans. Dr. John also had a hit with Iko Iko. It's associated, as a lot of the songs we're going to talk about today are, with Mardi Gras and the Mardi Gras Indians. But the original version, again, just had a really simple composition to it. It tells the story, though, of a confrontation between two Mardi Gras Indian tribes. And sort of the context, today if you see the Mardi Gras Indians, particularly say on Super Sunday or on Mardi Gras, they're pretty and they do the chants and you know everybody's excited. But there used to be a lot of violence when the tribes would cross. And so this song is really about telling the story of a confrontation between two Mardi Gras Indian tribes. So my vote, I love Dr. John, but Aiko Aiko is clearly the more iconic of the two songs, and there's so many fun versions of it, including one by Dr. John. So my vote goes to Aiko Aiko. Number 19, Ruler of My Heart versus Southern Nights. So Ruler of My Heart is by Irma Thomas, who is known as the Soul Queen of New Orleans. This one's a tough matchup, and you're going to hear me say that a lot today, but this one's a tough matchup because she goes against Alan Toussaint, someone she recorded with many times. Ruler of My Heart was released in 1963 on Mint Records, and while Irma Thomas maybe hasn't achieved the national or international acclaim of some of her contemporaries, Patti LaBelle comes to mind, Aretha Franklin, she is very much that big a talent and has had a huge impact in New Orleans, and she worked a ton, as I mentioned, with Alan Toussaint, and that's who she's up against. Southern Nights was written and recorded by Alan Toussaint in 1975, and it was actually based on his memories visiting his relatives in rural Louisiana. Well, 2 years later, in 1977, Glen Campbell released his recording of it, and he had a number one hit with Southern Nights. Campbell said that he loved the song from the first time he heard it because he grew up in Arkansas on a farm, and he related to the story of the song. Alan Toussaint passed away in November 2015, but he worked with a bunch of artists, including many we're going to talk about today. Not only Irma Thomas, The Meters, The Nevilles, Dr. John, Elvis Costello, Paul McCartney, Patti LaBelle, Dave Bartholomew, who we mentioned a little while ago. It just kind of goes on and on. He had such a big influence. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And on a personal note, he lived about two blocks from me in Mid-City. And he was a frequent visitor to Teddy's Grill. Longtime listeners have heard me talk many times about my family's po' boy place in Gentilly called Teddy's Grill. And Mr. Toussaint would show up in his brown two-tone Rolls Royce, almost always by himself. He pretty much kept to himself, but he was such a nice guy. Always had something interesting to say, but never, like, if you didn't see the Rolls Royce, you wouldn't know, right? Or if you didn't know him. But I just remember as a young guy being in awe, young kid, of this big, big musical influence coming into the restaurant and just, you know, was a normal guy. My vote is for Southern Nights. It's one of my all-time favorite songs, and he was one of my favorite New Orleans musicians. It's a tough one, though, because Irma Thomas is New Orleans in many ways. But I'm going to go with Alan Toussaint in this case. Matchup number 20, Big Chief versus Mother-in-Law. And by the way, as I was looking at this, I didn't realize it, but I think when the curator, Eric, put this together, he went somewhat chronologically. So the very first matchup had a song from the mid to late 1800s. And as we go through this and we go through the next dozen pairs of music, we get all the way up into songs that are just a couple years old. I didn't realize that as I was putting it together and I was going through it. And if we are able to get Eric on the show, I'm hoping to get him on maybe for the next one. We'll ask him about that. But anyway, matchup 20 is Big Chief versus Mother-in-Law. So Big Chief, again, like about a half dozen of the songs we're going to cover today, it's a Mardi Gras staple about Mardi Gras Indians. And it kind of goes along with a song we're going to come across shortly called Go to the Mardi Gras. The whistling and the style of piano of this one makes it really instantly recognizable, particularly if you're from New Orleans or you spend any time here. It's performed by Professor Longhair, often also known as Fess. What catches me is, again, that whistling and the style of piano. It's just kind of a driving sound. It also has that driving funk beat that you expect in New Orleans music, right? Particularly when you think of like the Meters and the Nevilles, but that comes from Professor Longhair and this song. If you've ever been to Tipitina's, you've seen his likeness hanging over the stage in the club. And Tipitina is the name of one of his favorite songs. Today, Tipitina's is owned by the funk band Galactic. So not that long ago, I'm recording again in June of 2020, I think last year, there were some financial difficulties, I think, at Tipitina's, and they put it up for sale, and the band Galactic bought it. So I think kind of carrying forward that funk and that sort of New Orleans sound. So Big Chief goes against Mother-in-Law. Mother-in-Law is a classic written by Alan Toussaint, but performed by Ernie K. Doe. this one in 1962. Ernie Cado reached number one on the Billboard Pop and R&B charts with Mother-in-Law. His Mother-in-Law Lounge still exists. It's on Claiborne Avenue, and it's owned by another New Orleans character and terrific musician, Kermit Ruffins. We mentioned Ernie Cado in the one we did also with Historic New Orleans Collection. It was an episode about modern art and street art in New Orleans. I forget the number. I'll put it in the show notes. But Ernie Cado was quite a character. He often called himself Emperor of the Universe. He would be on WWOZ, and he would only talk about himself in the third person. He's buried in St. Louis Cemetery No. 2, which is just a couple blocks, almost across the street from his lounge. My vote. This is another tough one, but I'm going to go with Big Chief. Ernie Cado was such a character, but Professor Longhair was so influential, even though he didn't get the same name attention as a lot of other people when he was alive. So my vote is Big Chief and Professor Longhair. Matchup 21, Yellow Moon versus Junko Partner. I think this is the first matchup I came across since the first one that I didn't know both songs. So Yellow Moon is a 1989 Neville Brothers song. It was also the name of an album. One of the tracks, not Yellow Moon, but one of the tracks from the album Yellow Moon, called Healing Chant, won a Grammy for Best Pop Instrumental. And the version in this playlist, again, you can get it in the show notes, was recorded at Tipitina's. So yet another probably not so random curation of the way these songs and matchups are laid out, since we just talked about Professor Longhair. So this is up against Junko Partner, which was first recorded in 1951 as a blues song. And it was recorded by a lot of other people, including James Booker, Dr. John, Professor Longhair, and The Clash, which I did not know until I was doing my research. Bob Dylan's album Knocked Out Loaded comes from a line in Junko Partner. This one, I love James Booker's piano playing, but I'm going to go with Yellow Moon on this one. Again, these are two that I didn't know that well. I had heard of Yellow Moon, had listened to it, but I didn't know much of it. And it's an interesting offset to me, these two. Yellow Moon is, if you love the Neville Brothers, you'll love the song. Junko Partner, so you got a much older song against a newer song. But I'm going to go with Yellow Moon on this one. Number 22, matchup 22, you got Hey Pocky Way, or sometimes called Hey Pocky Away, versus Good Rockin' Tonight. So Hey Pocky Way is the Meters. It has that driving syncopation, right, that I was talking about earlier. I just associate that with New Orleans funk. And again, you can kind of see hear as you listen to these songs, the Professor Longhair influence, and then you get the Meters here. 1974 album Rejuvenation with Hey Pocky Way on it is 139 on Rolling Stone's top 500 albums, once again produced by Alan Toussaint. In this case, it's going against Good Rockin' Tonight, which was released in 1947 by Roy Brown, but you're probably thinking about Elvis because he made it famous in 1954. And this song is one of one or two, maybe three songs that most historians of rock and roll say it was a direct precursor to rock and roll. So it's interesting to listen to the Roy Brown version of Good Rockin' Tonight, and then you can look up and listen to the Elvis version, and you can feel, particularly when you also think about Fats Domino, sort of it all coming together into what we now know as rock and roll. Hard to go against the Meters, though. My vote is Hey Pocky Way. Matchup 23, Brothers John versus the Fat Man. Brothers John was recorded by the Wild Chapatoulas, which were the four Neville brothers playing together along with George Landry. So you had George Landry, Art, Charles, Cyril, and Aaron Neville, along with George Porter on the album. So as if that wasn't enough, it was recorded in 1976 at Sea Saint Recording Studios, which was Alan Toussaint's recording studio. This is another one with strong roots in the Mardi Gras Indian culture. It features a call and response. So among other things, you've heard the song, even if you don't know it, by the name of Brother John, the Giacomo Finane. And so it's just, again, a classic. You hear it a lot. But I love the idea. Lots of people know the Neville Brothers. Maybe you don't know that the Wild Chapatoulas was the first time they performed together. It goes up against the Fat Man. The Fat Man, of course, being Fats Domino. Fats did this one again with Dave Bartholomew in 1949. And this one is sort of, if you had to point to one song that was the first rock and roll song, many historians would say it's this one, The Fat Man. It was also recorded at Cosmo Matassa's place, J&M Studio on Rampart Street, which is almost directly across from Armstrong Park and Congo Square. My vote is The Fat Man for its historical significance, but both of these songs are important in New Orleans history and New Orleans culture. Let's see, we'll go to matchup 24. Again, there's 32 total. We did 16 in the last episode. We're doing 16 here. Number 24, you got Go to the Mardi Gras versus See You Later, Alligator. So Go to the Mardi Gras is Professor Longhair. It's the Mardi Gras song I think you hear most often along the parade route. It was recorded in 1949, and then it was covered by Fats Domino. So you got lots of overlap in this bunch, this second half of this round. One of the things that's interesting to think about that I think we don't think about today is in 1949, when it was recorded, the Mardi Gras Parade Zulu would vary its route. And so one of this song was really about go to the Mardi Gras, go see the Zulu Parade, right? Go see the Zulu Queen. And one of the lines says, down on St. Claude and Dumaine. Well, if you know your New Orleans geography, the parade doesn't pass by St. Claude and Dumaine. But back then in 1949, it did sometimes because it didn't have a consistent route. Today and for many years, Zulu starts at its headquarters on Claiborne Avenue, and it comes down Jackson Avenue onto St. Charles and then goes downtown ahead of Rex on Mardi Gras Day, which starts uptown and then joins behind Zulu. And those routes stay the same, but that wasn't always the case. So that sort of influence on this song and sort of bit of history has sort of been lost. But next time you listen to Go to the Mardi Gras, or while you're listening to it, as you enjoy this competition of songs, think about that. And if you're here in New Orleans or maybe not, look at a map and versus where the parade passes today. But it makes sense when you know that that was a site where back then the parade would have gone. So this one's up against See You Later, Alligator. This was Bobby Charles in the 1950s. Again, early precursor of rock and roll. It was a top 10 for Bill Haley and the Comets in 1956. My vote is Go to the Mardi Gras. It's just such a, I don't know, again, it's one of those songs when I think about New Orleans and think about Mardi Gras, it just pops in my head. Okay, now we're going to jump forward and start to shift musical styles quite a bit. So matchup 25 is Stand Up and Get Crunk versus I Need a Hot Girl. So Stand Up and Get Crunk, the version that a lot of New Orleanians know, is performed by the Ying Yang Twins. And for years, it's been sort of the unofficial theme song of the New Orleans Saints, where they play it in the dome quite a bit, I should say, and they play it after big plays and coming out in the second half. This particular recording is by the Soul Rebels. The irony with the Ying Yang Twins is that they're from Atlanta. And if you know New Orleans Saints history, you know that there is a long rivalry a long rivalry between New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. One event is the first game played in the Dome after Hurricane Katrina about a year later was against the Falcons. And among other reasons it was memorable is a couple minutes into the game, Steve Gleason blocked a punt, which was picked up and returned for a touchdown by the Saints. Steve Gleason was a member of the Saints and there's a statue outside the Dome showing that play, actually. But Steve has, I don't even want to say struggled, has fought against ALS for years now and is such a part of New Orleans culture and of the New Orleans Saints history. And so the Ying Yang Twins, being from Atlanta, it's sort of ironic that this is the song that they play in the Dome quite a bit. But I digress a little. This particular version is done by the Soul Rebels. I think the original by the Ying Yang Twins is a little more driving. The line that people sort of roar in the Dome is, "Here we come to get you." So I'm going to put a link to the Ying Yang Twins version, but when you go through the playlist, you'll hear the Soul Rebels. And the Soul Rebels are terrific. It's just the Ying Yang Twins version is, again, a little bit more driving, which is maybe why they play it in the Dome. So It's up against I Need a Hot Girl. So the Hot Boys, produced by Manny. So I Need a Hot Girl was done by the Hot Boys, which was, they were produced by Manny Fresh, and the song was produced by Manny Fresh. So what makes the Hot Boys interesting is that they included Lil Wayne, Juvenile, BG, and Turk. So Lil Wayne, of course, is considered one of the most influential rappers in his generation, and he's now the CEO of Young Money Entertainment. In 2012, he became the first female artist, excuse me, the first male artist to surpass Elvis with the most songs on the Billboard Hot 100, with 109 songs. He sold 120 million records worldwide, and this is sort of an interesting pick to review 10 days, 11 days after George Floyd's murder. All four of the Hot Boys served time in prison on various charges, many of which, but not all, were minor. And their albums, life experiences, the songs, it reminds me of a book I just finished reading by Ta-Nehisi Coates called Between the World and Me. And that book, and I digress for a moment, but that book is sort of a letter from Coates to his son about growing up black in America and the challenges with that. And it just kind of struck me against, I was reading that book and then I came across this matchup here with the Ying Yang Twins and the Hot Boys. And Lil Wayne has at times said he didn't face discrimination, and people in the Black Lives Matter movement have said, you know, how can that be? And he grew up in the projects here in New Orleans. And so I get that is probably a sensitive subject right now in terms of Lil Wayne. But the part that struck me is you have all four of these guys achieve success. All four of them struggled with the system. But they came together. They produced this song with Manny Fresh. And they were in many ways sort of a rap supergroup. Manny Fresh, of course, is a rapper, a producer, a DJ. For a decade, he was the driving force behind Cash Money Records. He produced almost all of the songs on 17 platinum or multi-platinum or gold records for Cash Money. And Cash Money is one of the most successful labels in hip-hop history. So this song kind of, you have this intersection of Manny Fresh and these guys that all go on to do really well. But also have this other part of their life, and I think it just is an interesting intersection, particularly at this moment in time, to be thinking about it. So this one I kind of went back and forth with, and I'm going to go with I Need a Hot Girl. Not so much because of the song per se, but because of the influence in rap and hip-hop of its members and of Manny Fresh. And I love the Soul Rebels, and the Ying Yang Twins are fun, but the Ying Yang Twins are from Atlanta, and the Hot Boys here in New Orleans. So my vote is the Hot Boys and I Need a Hot Girl. Mom, if you're listening to this, you're going to want to skip right over that song probably, though, in the YouTube playlist, because it's not quite mom approved, I would say. All right, let's move on then. Matchup 26, It's All Over Now versus Where They At by DJ Jimmy. It's All Over Now, Dirty Dozen Brass Band with Dr. John. It was first released by the Valentinos and then by the Rolling Stones. In fact, I don't have it in my notes, but I'm nearly certain it was the Rolling Stones' first number one hit. So it's up against Where They At by DJ Jimmy. He recorded a cover, but the thing that makes it important and why I think it's probably on this list is it's one of the earliest bounce songs. So I got to say, neither one of these are among my favorites, but you have the number one Rolling Stones song against an early important bounce hit, so I'm going to go with It's All Over Now. Matchup 27, You Don't Want to Go to War versus Stop, Pause, Do the Jubilee All. So this one, again, you're starting to get these kind of splits in time, and also we've jumped way forward if you think about where this started. If you go just today's episode sort of starts in the late 40s, early 50s, and now we're jumping forward a couple decades. You Don't Want to Go to War by Rebirth Brass. Rebirth, by the way, was founded in 1983 and included Kermit Ruffins. They still play, although I don't know that they're doing it right now in the time of COVID-19, but they play Tuesday nights at Maple Leaf in the Carrollton River Bend area. If you're ever in town and sort of that comes back to normal, it's a late show. It starts about 11 o'clock. Maple Leaf Bar is relatively small and just sort of the sound is just popping off the walls and the ceiling, but it's a lot of fun. Rebirth is always a great time. In this one, they're up against DJ Jubilee with Stop, Pause, Do the Jubilee All. So DJ Jubilee, his real name is Jerome Temple. He grew up in the St. Thomas Housing Project. He graduated from Grambling University, so an HBCU school, historically black college or university. This song was released in 1993, and what makes it important is that it includes the first mention of the word twerk. Again, mom should maybe stop at this point. Maybe mom, you should have stopped at 25. Or maybe dad, if y'all are listening in the car, you want to just skip ahead a little. I don't know. My pick is Stop, Pause, Do the Jubilee All. It's really hard not to smile when you say the word twerk. And it also makes me think about Big Frida, who we're going to hear about in just a little bit. Matchup 28, I'll Fly Away versus Go DJ. So we've been going forward in time, and then we get I'll Fly Away, which is from 1929. It's supposedly the most recorded gospel song ever. It's a staple in New Orleans at funerals and in the gospel tent at Jazz Fest. The version that's in this playlist is by the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. And it's interesting because you hear it often covered or recorded by country and bluegrass musicians, excuse me. But in this version, you kind of get the bright brass sounds. I got a lot of alliteration in here. Bright brass sounds that the Dirty Dozen was known for. It's going against, so you get this 1929 gospel funeral classic going against Go DJ by Lil Wayne, again produced by Manny Fresh. The importance here is that it's Lil Wayne's first solo hit. The video is what's interesting to me. It's set in the Mansfield Reformatory. So those of you that are movie buffs, maybe that jogs your memory. The Mansfield Reformatory is where Shawshank Redemption was shot. I actually like both of these. They're very different. I'm going to go with I'll Fly Away. Matchup 29, you have, I think the only one in the matchup here, you have two songs that each just have one word in the title. Ha versus Bounce. So Bounce is sometimes Bounce for the juvenile, but we're gonna go with it. Ha helped make Cash Money a big time label. I talked about earlier, Lil Wayne, Manny Fresh, but this was a big hit for them. It was shot in the Magnolia Housing Project. Again, if you've been to New Orleans and you've gone to see the Mardi Gras Indians on Super Sunday, you are right in the middle of what was the Magnolia Housing Project. All of that was destroyed and then knocked down after Hurricane Katrina, and there is it's all been rebuilt. It's up against Bounce by DJ Jimmy and Juvenile. But Ha is unique in that every third line ends with Ha, and it helped turn Cash Money into a big label. So I'm going to go with Ha. Let's see, matchup 30. Do What You Wanna versus Feet Can't Fail Me Now. This is a fun matchup between two brass bands. So you got Rebirth with Do What You Wanna, super popular modern New Orleans jazz song. When you listen to it, many of you are going to recognize it from the HBO series Tremé. I love it. It's always fun, kind of a foot-tapping sort of, you know, dancing song. But it's really long, and there's not a whole lot of lyrics, and it goes for about 8 minutes. It's up against Feet Can't Fail Me Now by the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. The Dirty Dozen grew out of a program established by Danny Barker back in the 1970s. It has maybe a bit more, I don't know, jazz and old school 70s funk. It's kind of got that driving beat to it. I was listening to both of these the other day when I was just a little down, frankly, about, you know, everything going on. And Feet Can't Fail Me Now just picks you up. So it is a great Monday, rainy day, feeling a little down song. Can't solve anything, but can put a smile on your face and a tap in your step. So I'm going to go with Feet Can't Fail Me Now. All right, matchup 31, Punk Under Pressure versus Gin in My System. Punk Under Pressure was done by Katie Redd. She gets credit for creating this subset of Bounce. Some people don't think it's a subset, but called Sissy Bounce. She grew up in the Melpomene Housing Projects, which those of you familiar with New Orleans, let me back up. Those of you not in New Orleans are saying, Melpomene, what is that? Don't you mean Melpomene? If I were anywhere else and talking about the muses, the Greek muses, then yes, it would be Melpomene. But here in New Orleans, we sort of have our own language, and it's Melpomene. And so Katie Redd grew up in the Melpomene housing projects. She's also one of the first transgender rappers in Bounce. But again, she gets credit for Sissy Bounce, sort of a style or a genre, subgenre maybe of Bounce. She's up against Gin in My System and Big Frida. And this is not a fair matchup, Eric, when you put this together. You knew this was going to be hard for people. I get why they matched up against each other, but Big Frida popularized Bounce, and she performed with Katie Redd as a backup dancer and singer at the start of her career. In fact, they grew up only four blocks away from each other. These are both fun songs, but I'm going to go with Pink Under Pressure, although I'm going to have to own this when I finally get Big Frida on the show. I'm sort of secretly hoping she can teach me to twerk. So if you're listening or anybody listening that knows Big Frida, I want you to come on the show. I know it's an audio show, thank God. Maybe we'll record a little video, but I want to know how to twerk. Again, Mom, I warned you about five picks ago that you and Dad should turn this one off, but you didn't. So if you're still here, Punk Under Pressure versus Gin in My System, don't call me once you listen to these two songs, or maybe you do. And rounding out the first round, matchup 32, Joe Avery's Blues, also just known as Second Line, or Second Line Music, versus Buck Jump Tom. So Joe Avery's Blues, a traditional Mardi Gras Second Line song. This one is performed by the Olympia Brass Band. Nearly all New Orleanians can hum this from memory, though they probably can't name it other than to say it's a second line song. It's the bum 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 ba da 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 bum 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 ba da 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 ba da da da. I didn't even know what it was called until I went through this, but that's the song. Again, everyone here knows it. It's up against, so you get this old traditional song, Olympia Brass Band, up against Buck Jump Time by Gregory D. and Manny Fresh. This one calls out the New Orleans housing projects by name and the neighborhoods. So that to me is really sort of an interesting audio sort of history of New Orleans in the sense of calling out all of these projects, housing projects, and neighborhoods. And so much of New Orleans music comes from these neighborhoods and the housing projects. And even today, it just continues with, if you've paid attention to the 32 matchups and the 64 songs, nearly all of them are by African American artists. And there's just such a part of culture in New Orleans that comes out of Black culture and the housing projects and also just various neighborhoods. And I love that it calls out, that they call out nearly every neighborhood in the city, or certainly in the inner city, if you will, New Orleans proper, as compared to the suburbs. And so that's interesting. They don't talk about it, but buck jumping is a step dance seen in second line parades in New Orleans. Every time I hear the word buck jump, I think about my good friend and former guest on the show, Vance Vokerson. Vance's family makes Vokerson's hot sausage. His dad was the first vendor at Jazz Fest, and today Vokerson's sausage is the only original vendor from that first Jazz Fest in 1970. But Vance is quite the dancer, and I've seen many videos of Vance doing the buck jump, but buck jumping is something that is really hard to describe, but something, if you look up a video of second lines in New Orleans and you see the guys dancing, often, usually that's what they're doing. They're doing the buck jumping. So you got Joe Avery's Blues versus Buck Jump Time. I'm going to go with Buck Jump Time mostly because I want you to know what buck jumping is, and I like the call out of the New Orleans housing projects and neighborhoods where so many musicians came from. Again, I'm recording this in June of 2020 in the midst of the protests across the country about George Floyd's death and murder and Black Lives Matter. And so much of New Orleans culture comes from the Black community, going all the way back to the enslaved in Congo Square, straight through to today and brass bands and Bounce and everything in between. And so I just think the importance of this song and the sort of call back to the culture is why I have picked it. Again, so that's 32 matchups, 64 songs, again, between last time and this time. So what happens now is we got the round of 32, so there'll be 16 matchups. And I think I can cover the next several rounds in one episode. I might do it in two, depending if I get Eric Seaforth on, the curator from the Historic New Orleans Collection who put this together. I hope you've enjoyed this, but I really hope that you'll go listen to the music for yourself and also diverge off. So if you like a song when you listen to it in the playlist, go find some other versions of it. And also if you don't like it, because sometimes there was a version that I thought, it was okay. And then I went and listened to another version and I really liked it, particularly some of the ones I wasn't as familiar with. So I would encourage you to do that too. It's a great thing to do right now while so many of us can't get out and do very much and you're looking for ways to connect to New Orleans, whether you're here in the city and just can't get out because of COVID-19, or maybe you're not here and you were looking forward to coming to New Orleans and now right now you can't because of the way travel is. So it's a good way to connect and also a good way to connect with our culture, both past and present. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining me today. Be sure to check out our show notes and all the links at beyondbourbonst.com/114, where you'll find a bracket with my selections as well as the YouTube playlist. You can also find the discount codes from our sponsors and partners and a link to become a Patreon supporter and help us out by supporting the show.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.